come with great anticipation and expectation. We met the Burts last summer. We were at a conference, and they were teaching, or she was teaching, a breakout session. And we went to the breakout session, and we were so blessed. There was things in my heart that God adjusted that had been in there for a long time. And I said, who is this lady? What kind of anointing does she carry? And so we prayed. We actually went to all three of her sessions. And we just said, you know, if she's supposed to come to our church, God's going to give us an opportunity to do that. And so he made a way, gave us favor with them, and here they are. They came in February, and we have so many testimonies from that meeting in February of all the amazing things that God did. And so they have come back to share the word of the Lord, to deliver the anointing. So Dr. Paula Burt, come and minister the word of the Lord. Let's just welcome her tonight. Praise the Lord. Surprise. She needs one more minute. So. Okay, I'm getting my messages here from, or directions from the man. So he just wanted me to share that we're going to have the messages that she has shared. They're going to be posted on our website, which is befellowship.org. We also have a church app, which is BF Church. You can download that. That'll direct you to the website, to the messages, and they will all be available for you to listen to. We had a great testimony of someone who just listened to them recently. We got an email yesterday, and she said, I listened to all the messages from Dr. Paula Burt back in February. And she said, I was so blessed just by listening. And she came yesterday, and she was blessed as well. So I think it's amazing when we can just listen to a previous message, ministering to other people, and the anointing just spills over. Because you know what I learned a long time ago? We're all on the same line when it comes to God. What he's done for one, he will do for all of us. People have gotten words before, and I've said, Lord, I want that. And he's like, all right, you know, just step up, and you can believe me for that. Because all the promises in Christ, they're yes and amen. They're yes and amen. So let's welcome Dr. Burt as she comes. Praise the Lord.
There I am.
There we go. Right.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. I thank you, Father, that when we leave this place, we're going to leave with a new level of your anointing, with a new vision of your purpose, and God, with the joy of the Lord that shall be our strength. Yes. Hallelujah. When we first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time I would see somebody move in the gifts of the Spirit or have a word of prophecy or something like this, I'd think, how did they do that? How did they know what to say? And we received the baptism back in the 70s, and it was during a period of time nobody wanted to tell anybody how they got it, because then they might be the ministers and not them. And so people wouldn't tell. Well, when Daniel and I began to learn, we wanted to share everything we knew. Yeah. And we found out the more we shared, the higher level God raised us to. Praise when God. We learned some of the very basics and we shared them, then we began to understand even greater ways that God had, or deeper things that he had to say and had to do. Well, the scripture that was a turning point in my life, as far as the gifts go, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm just going to read two parts of it. Verse 1, the first verse, and the last verse. These were the two that changed me. I had been a very shy person. I had not been an outgoing person, one who could stand before people and do things. And so when I heard these two scriptures, it put me in tears. How, God, how can I ever do this? And now I think, oh, God, I shocked myself at what you let me do. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And no matter how much I have learned about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I still am learning. I'm learning from other people, what they hear, how they hear, how they interpret what they hear. And it's an ongoing process. But this is a part of living in the kingdom of God. These are our weapons, so to speak, that God has given us so that we can have the direction of God personally and so that we can help others stay on target and be in the right place that God has for them. And down at the very last, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. What's the best gift? It's whatever gift somebody needs. If they need healing, the best gift is not deliverance if it's not caused by a demon, whatever they have. They need the gift of healing. When the man was in my backyard when we lived in Little Rock and he was trying to use a ditch digger, I guess it would be called, a what?
Trencher.
A trencher, to dig a hole in that hard ground that we had. And it died and it wouldn't work and he was having to hand dig it. He needed a miracle. He didn't need a healing. He didn't need a prophecy. He didn't need a word of knowledge that I knew what happened to you back when you were five. He needed help. And I'm in my house praying for him because it was so hot and I felt so sorry for him out there hand digging. It was a long road to hoe. And God said, if you'll go out and lay hands on his instrument, whatever you call it, God said, I'll make it start. And I thought, get away from me, devil. I had never done anything like that. But yet I knew it was God. And so finally, with great fear, I went out there and I walked over to him and I said, sir, this may sound crazy, but I believe God is saying that if I will lay hands on your instrument and pray, it will start working, your machine. And he said, oh, praise the Lord. He was a spirit-filled young man, and he had been out there praying. I didn't really know how to do it. It was my first time, but I put my hands on that thing, and I prayed. And he pulled the motor to make it go, and nothing happened. And he pulled it again, and nothing happened. And he saw my face, and he said, well, maybe it'll start in just a minute. It didn't. I went over and sat down on the back porch with tears in my eyes. And I said, God, I came out here and I proclaimed that I believed you said you would do it. And nothing's happening. What if he needs to see a miracle, God? And all of a sudden, he gave one more pull. And there went that motor. And he got my yard done in no time at all. Well, shortly thereafter, we were coming back from a meeting, and here is this older couple sitting at the side of the road. Well, he stops for everybody that needed help back then. And so we pulled over, and he had me get under the wheel in case it was some bad guys so I could take off with our little girls. And he was going to go back and see what was going on. Pretty soon he came to the car and he said their motor won't start. Their battery's dead. And he said the man's cleaned it. It won't start. But God said if I pray that he would start it, he said, but I don't have the faith. I said, well, I do. I mean, I just prayed. I've just seen a battery start. I'm ready.
Amen.
So I ran back there in its kind of getting dark. I couldn't see real good. I wasn't sure. I thought that thing was a battery that I saw on the right. And I put hands on it and prayed. And he turned the motor and that thing took off.
Glory to God.
With full power. And that old lady, I thought she was so old. She was 62 years old. She, that young chick. Grabbed me and flung me around and around. glory to God. And we got a letter from her the next week, I guess. And she said, we have been Baptist all of our lives. We've loved Jesus. We've served him. But we have never seen a miracle. It was worth sitting in the hot sun for 4 hours to see a miracle. Hallelujah. So our life has been an exciting life. A life of seeing God move and seeing God do things. But it all got stirred up with those two verses. And I would sometimes, when he would give me what I thought was a prophetic word, I would cry. And when I would give it, I would cry. I was so scared. But I didn't want to disobey either. So I had a desire to obey the Lord. And when we have that desire, he helps us get through whatever it is that hinders us. And he gives us that Holy Ghost boldness that we need to change. And I got the same verse I gave that young lady this morning. Your name starts with an N, right?
Natalie.
Yeah. That the righteous of God are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. But I had to speak it enough times before I believed it. I knew I was the righteous, but I didn't know I was bold. But God makes us bold. We had a leading lady on the Channel 6 News at Wichita Falls call and say she wanted to come and do a news report on me. They weren't used to having women in the ministry back in the 80s. It was the late 80s, and she wanted to come and do this. And I said, oh, I did a television program once, and when they turned the cameras on, I hyperventilated. I was so scared. And it felt like I had a belt around my ribs, and it just got yanked too, and I couldn't breathe. And I said, I just can't imagine doing that. And the men of the church said, oh, this is God, free publicity. And I said, well, I'll do it if the church will make me a promise everybody will show up. It was on Sunday night, and a lot of times half the people wouldn't come. And I said, if I'm going to do it on TV, you're going to have to all be here and be praying for me. So I agreed to do it. I did hyperventilate, but they were good not to put that part on. They interviewed me ahead of time, and then they were going to interview the service. Now, I'm expecting a quiet, sedate thing, because everybody knows how they talk about women in the ministry. They say that they try to act like a man and dress like a man and all of this sort of stuff. And I didn't want to look the bad way. Well, that morning, I had come to church and there was a box with my name on it. It was the most beautiful dress, brand new. And I thought, boy, this is a sign. It must be God. I got a new dress, got it free, and it fits me perfect. And it's gorgeous. So I felt lovely. But when they started the worship, it was dance music. Now, all I needed was my ex-Baptist friends to see me dancing. And I thought, God, why? Why are they playing this? Tonight they should be doing something more worshipful or sedate. And God spoke to me. And he said, Paul, if you want to see miracles tonight, you're going to have to dance for it. So I shut my eyes. I couldn't see a soul. I raised my hands and I danced unto the Lord. I would have never known if they even saw me. They might have had their eyes closed too. Except their way of advertising the program was to show me spinning and dancing. But that night, there were 5 little children that were brought special that night because I told them, God has told me it'll be a miracle service. 5 children who had been diagnosed as a midget grew instantly 2.5 inches. When I prayed for them, the man who was televising it, because God would have me put a piece of paper up on the wall and I have the parents measure the children. Then after I prayed, they would go be remeasured. And every one of them had grown 2.5 inches. The cameraman wept. And they ran the show for 3 days to show the miracle power that is still available in the world today. People said to me, Paula, where did you ever get the idea that you could pray for somebody who had stopped growing and you would see God heal them? When our little girl was 6 years old, she stopped growing. When she was, I guess she would have been 8, she was still in a size 6. I thought she just wasn't growing and I wasn't having to spend money on clothes and shoes. But we took her to a different doctor. And when he measured her and checked her old records, he asked me if I was aware that she had not gained a centimeter and she had not grown an inch for 2 years. A centimeter and an ounce, gained an ounce for 2 years. And it hadn't dawned on me. And I said, no. And he said, I need to run some tests. He said, Mrs. Burt, I fear you have a midget on your hands. Now, she was only 3'7", however tall that would be. And when I heard that, I felt like I'd just been shocked. I wanted to cry. I wanted to scream. I wanted to say no. But I had to hold it all together, I thought, until I got out to the car and I told myself, you make it to the car and you can scream. So we had to stop by the lab. They ran some tests. We got out to the car. I was rolling up the window. I've never been a screamer, but that's the only thing I could think to do right then was just wail to God. No, no. And as I was rolling up the windows, my little girl, in the most horrible grammar, and see, I'm an English major, so it got my attention. She said, Mommy, I ain't gonna be no midget. And I said, Honey, you are right. And the scripture we had been meditating on, the healing scriptures we had been studying, begin to pour out of our vessel. And the two of us would quote the scripture. I found a scripture in Peter that said, when the prophets of old spoke, they spoke by the unction of the Holy Ghost. They didn't speak because they had an agenda. They spoke because the Holy Ghost had an agenda. And I said, Father, when Isaiah wrote, by his stripes you are healed. God, that was so I would know today, my daughter would not be a midget. My daughter would be healed. And she was in agreement with me, and we were saying it all the way home. When we got the first report, they said there's no growth hormones on her bones. They've begun to seal. There's nothing that indicates there will be future growth. They had a bad report about the blood. And there were a couple more tests still to come. And Daniel was out of town. And so when we would have a phone call, he would say to me, oh, what's the latest report? And I would say, honey, before I tell you, I want to tell you what the good physician says. And I went through every scripture in the Bible on healing and read it out loud to him, then gave the doctor's report and said, now whose report are we going to receive? That song had not been written yet. But God gave us the knowledge that we had a choice. We could choose what God said, or we could choose what the world said, what medicine said. And it's not that they were wrong in what was wrong with her body, but we are in a new kingdom. We are in the kingdom of his dear son. And we do not have to accept what medicine says. We have a choice. Every day, my little girl and I would get up, and 3 times a day we took her medicine. For breakfast, we went through the scriptures. For lunch, we went through the scriptures. For supper, we went through the scriptures. I know people that'll do it for 2 days and they quit. It gets old. It gets tiring. You're not seeing anything happen necessarily. But when they say your child will never grow past this, it is worth every minute and every effort that it takes to go through the scripture.
Amen.
So we went through the scripture. 2 weeks after that diagnosis, we had our next appointment. We went in to see the doctor, and he is shocked. She has gained 10 pounds. The first 10 pounds in 2 years. But he has not changed his verdict. And he says to me, "Now, Mama, do you need me to get a psychiatrist for you?" And I thought, "What do you mean? What am I doing? That sounds crazy." And I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, all of my mothers who have this diagnosis need help." He said, "It's not an easy thing to live with or deal with." And I said, "Oh, sir, you don't understand. I have Jesus. I don't need a doctor. Jesus is going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of this. He told me not to be anxious for anything." So I told him, if I'm not to be anxious, he's got to let me know he's going to do something.
Right.
She's gained 10 pounds.
Yes.
We came back in 2 weeks for the next appointment. She had gained 10 pounds. And I said, "God, she's growing this way." She was getting fat. And I said, "Lord, we need it this way." We came back 2 weeks later, and she had gained 2 inches. And the doctor said, "I don't know what is happening. I don't know what you're doing, but you don't need to come back." I guess he said till the next year. But we moved shortly thereafter. And as we were going to Little Rock, Arkansas, we were going to go to Tulsa, to Rhema. But on the way, we went through Little Rock, and I was reading in the newspaper where it said if girls did not have up to 5 foot of height, that doctors would give them enough growth hormone to get them to 5 foot. They would give boys enough to get them to 5'2". And the reason they limited it was there's not a whole lot of growth hormone. And there were a lot of people whose growth had stopped. And I turned to Daniel and I said, "You know what, Daniel? I believe with all my heart, if doctors have a way to make people grow like that, 2 inches or whatever, that God would gladly do it too."
That's right. Amen.
And when I spoke it out loud, a faith went through me. We got to Little Rock, to the place where we were staying for the night, and the lady who was our hostess, our friend, was only 4'9", I think. She was a very short lady. And when we were talking, she made the comment that to make their king-size bed, she had to crawl up in the middle of the bed to get the middle of it because she couldn't reach it. And I said, "You know what? I believe God will grow you at least 2 inches. Would you like for me to pray?" And she said, "Well, I never thought of that. Sure." So I sat her in the chair, my first guinea pig. And the only way I knew to pray for anybody, I had learned how to pray for the feet, and their legs would grow. So I took her feet, and I prayed for growth. And when she stood up, after praying for her, she went whoosh, whoosh, right in front of us, two things, and her eyes were now higher than what they were. Her daughter walks in about that time, who had been taller than mother, and there she and mother are eyeball to eyeball. She said, "Mother, what just happened?"
Amen.
"You've grown."
Praise, praise.
So we measured her, and she had grown, but she didn't hit 5 foot. She was 5'11½" or something like that. And I said, "God, I thought it was going to be 5 foot. What's the deal?" And I said to her, "I'm so sorry. I just knew it'd be 5 foot." She said, "Well, before you prayed, I prayed in my heart, God, I want to be able to wear 2-inch heels and not be taller than my husband." He was only 5'2". So God honored her request. So for the next few years, our daughter's height did not become what it should become instantly. We had to keep our faith on the line. So once a month, we would measure her. If she had not grown a fourth of an inch or at least a little, we would pray again, and she would begin to grow. She got to 5 foot, and she stopped growing. And I thought, God, I always believed she'd be 5 foot 5, just like her mama. And she's only 5 foot. I need 5 more inches. Didn't matter how much we prayed, she didn't budge. And so we asked her, honey, are you doing something to stop you from growing? And she said, oh, mama, I got blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm 5 foot, and the boys think I'm cute. She says, I don't want to grow anymore. And she didn't. She stopped right there. But then when she graduated from high school and she went to college, she went to ORU. And on the weekends, there's no cafeteria, so they order pizza out. If anyone hasn't discovered, you can put on weight real easy eating pizza every weekend. So when she came home, she had gained 10 pounds, and it showed. And before she went back, she said, Daddy, do you think God would give me just 1 more inch? 1 inch would make that 10 pounds look perfect. Do you know she drove home to Tulsa, back to ORU, 5'1". And that is her height today. So everywhere I went, it seemed like there was always a child who had been diagnosed that they would never grow. And God had a way of bringing them to my meetings. I've had kids in Malaysia that have grown. I've had them in Ireland. They've been in Poland. Wherever we've been, all different places in America, that God has grown 2 inches to 2.5 inches instantly, right there. Amen. It is such a joy to be a Christian. Amen. It is such a joy to live in the kingdom of God. Yes. And I believe that one of the things that God anoints Daniel and I with is to release that joy and expectation that we're living below our standards. We have something to give the world. And I've had people that say, oh, Christianity is so boring. Who would want to live a Christian life? You don't get to go out drinking, and you don't get to. It's not that I don't get to. I don't want to. I know how to get drunk without liquor. It just takes the Holy Ghost. I think the first time I saw somebody delivered of depression, we were in a meeting, and it was so funny. This preacher was a Pentecostal preacher, and it was our first time to be under a meeting with a real Pentecostal preacher. They're different from having our Baptist background and a little rowdy and all of this. And he called for a prayer line. And one of the ladies in our church who fought depression so bad happened to be the first one in line. And he walked over to her with his big Bible. You know how some of them have a Bible to make sure you know it's a Bible. We would have called it a family Bible in the Baptist church, but that was his preaching Bible. And he picked it up and whacked her on the head. She went down under the power of God and giggled and laughed. And when she got up out of the floor, there was no depression anywhere. One day I was teaching in a meeting, and I had been feeling a little down. I was battling a couple of things with the school and a couple of the school kids that had me feeling a little blue. And God said, I want you to share that testimony. So I thought, well, okay, there must be someone coming in depressed. And so I picked up a little paperback New Testament to demonstrate. And when I took it and wiped myself on the head, I was in the floor giggling worse than that other lady had done. And the whole church got delivered of depression to see Pastor Paula go over and giggle and giggle and not be able to stop set us all free. But sometimes God uses laughter. He uses laughter to release us of the heaviness or the burdens or whatever it is that we are carrying. But one of the big things that I learned is if we want to see miracles, we've got to be obedient. We've got to do what God tells us. I have gotten to where if I'm in a big prayer line and I get to a certain person and I sense a certain thing, I know that they have a back issue. But then I have to do something. Sometimes he'll tell me to put my hand on their back. Sometimes he'll tell me to sit them in a chair and take their feet, and he'll grow out a short leg. We've seen them as much as about 2 inches come out instantly and grow. Sometimes it's not that the leg is short, but they have a curve in their spine. And then we'll see the long leg grow first, which freaked me out the first day. I thought, oh my goodness, God, I messed them up real good now. And I was binding the devil and all of this. And then the other leg came out and it gets even. And then there they start shooting back and forth. But what I didn't know was this young lady had been in a bad car accident and had messed up her lower back. The next day, she was scheduled to be x-rayed and prepared for surgery to correct what had happened. But when she got to the doctor, she was 100% healed. So I didn't mess up anything. I just was obedient to the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand it, but he did. He did a miracle. When I was still so shy that it was hard to say, I think God said, or God is saying, we had a couple that came to our house. And we didn't know them real well. They had come for us to pray for them because they had begun to hear that when Daniel and I prayed for people that God talked to us. So we had done some praying, and all of a sudden I hear God say, if you'll touch him, if this part of his back, I'll heal his back. Well, of all the conversation, he had never mentioned a back issue. And I had to fight through the fear of being wrong. If I'm wrong, they'll never trust me again. Or if I'm wrong, how will I ever establish myself as hearing God right? Do you know when we have fear of being wrong, we usually are wrong because we don't do what God tells us to do, and then we miss the whole blessing. And what I finally decided is if I'm wrong, I don't hurt anything. But if I'm right, I have an opportunity to see a miracle. Well, I didn't know how to handle it, feeling all of the emotions that were going through me. So I just kind of cleared my throat and said, I need a drink of water. Will y'all excuse me? And as I walked in the kitchen to get a drink of water, I leaned over and whacked him where God told me to whack him. And just said, be back in a minute. When I came back, that man said, did you know about my back? And he had been in a hand glider accident. His family was Pentecostal. They had believed God. And though they had said he would be crippled for life, he was able to get up. But what we didn't know was every morning there were knots in his spine that had to be rubbed out before he could get up. And so when we saw him on Sunday, he came running over to us and said, I no longer have knots in my spine. I am completely 100% healed. His back, yeah, had been broken. So God began to give us more confidence that just do what I tell you and I'll take care of it. So his wife comes by to see me one day. And she comes in with white gloves. You know those gloves we ladies used to wear to church that look so pretty, those white ones, which nobody ever wears anymore? Well, she had them on in the daytime, and she wasn't going anywhere, and she wasn't dressed for church or anywhere. And I asked her, why are you wearing your gloves? Where are you going? And she said, well, I've got this condition on my hands where I'm allergic to cleaning supplies and things, and I get these horrible red sores in between my fingers, and I'm so embarrassed that I wear these. And she took the glove off to show me her hand, and it was horrible. And God told me to take her hand and place it on my cheek and speak his love into it. So I did it, and just as it touched my cheek, the devil talked and said, what are you going to do when all that stuff gets all over your face? I never thought about that. I just was full of compassion for her and felt like God said to do something, and I was trying to obey. But I went ahead and spoke God's love into her fingers and thanked him for that beautiful hand and thanked him he was going to correct it. Sunday they were waiting for us. What we didn't know was not only did God heal the rash, but he healed the reason for the rash. If she could keep gloves on, nobody could see her hand. When she was a little girl, her middle finger had been cut off when a door was closed. They had believed God that if the doctor would just sew it on, she'd be healed. The doctor sewed it on, and it lived, but it never grew. So she had that deformed last two digits on that finger that everybody noticed. But when she held out her hand, you would never know that finger had been cut off, except there was a tiny line like a scar around where God had fixed it and grown it. Oh, hallelujah. And you want to tell me being a Christian is boring? No, it's not. My mother said, being a Christian is fun just because I get to hear your stories, just because I get to see what God is doing. So I get a phone call one day, and this woman has cut her finger off. And I said, oh, I've seen God heal fingers. I'm going to pray. It's going to be okay. Actually, she didn't say she cut it off. She said she just cut it real bad and had to. She was going to go get stitches and all of this. So I prayed, and she didn't have the heart to tell me that there was no last digit anymore on the finger. And when the doctor took the wrapping paper off the gauze, she had a full hand with a full finger, a full finger. There was nothing missing. Now, thank God, I didn't know, because I would have never prayed that way. But sometimes we pray without the correct knowledge, but because of that, we're not influenced, and we just go with God and we do what God wants. I want you to look at 1 Kings, please. When I got so excited seeing God do miracles, seeing him grow out legs, because one of the first legs we saw to grow was a little boy in our home group. We had a teenage home group. And he had one leg 2 inches shorter than the other. And God grew that leg out. He had been in a car accident, and the leg was broken right at the point of growth. And when that happens, their leg never grows in that at that joint. And when God grew it out, it affected our whole Bible study. We had one little boy that just flung himself in the floor, hollering, I repent, God. I'm so sorry, God, I repent. Daniel went over and knelt beside him and said, son, what is wrong? He was just wailing. And he said, I've been making fun of y'all. I've been laughing about the fact you believe God's the healer. Only came tonight to see if something funny might take place. He said, but that's my friend. And I know my friend had a short leg, and I saw it grow. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. He got saved first, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit because of a miracle. And then our daughter had been born with one leg shorter, and God grew her leg out that day. So there was no question in our heart that we served a miracle God, a God who would do things that we never imagined, we never thought about, we never anticipated him doing. When the Holy Ghost began to fall at Carl Strader's church, when Rodney Howard Brown was there, we went to the meeting, and oh my goodness, what fun it was being drunk in the spirit every night, being in the floor laughing. I got healed of what they called adult onset asthma. It was embarrassing because every time I'd go on the floor, I'd start this coughing, and I would think people would think and I had a demon and I was getting delivered. I've had to overcome a lot of fear of what people think, what man would think. But every time I got in the prayer line, I was in the floor and I would start this coughing. But when I went home, I no longer had asthma. I was 100% healed. And right before we left, Rodney prayed for me because I was about to leave the very next week to go to Ireland. And all of this was new in America and it hadn't hit Ireland. And he prayed for me that God would put the anointing on me that I could take it there. And when I went, the anointing fell. And God began to set people free of their oppression and their heaviness. And one of the things God told me to tell them is when God begins to heal and minister, let the person alone. Let the Holy Ghost do the Holy Ghost work. Don't try to get down there because they may need to get healed of something or delivered of bitterness, unforgiveness, anger. And God's trying to deal with them, and you go over and, oh, you sweet little thing. And you are putting a spirit of self-pity, releasing self-pity many times into that person. If God didn't send you over there, stay away. And so if anyone went out under the power, we didn't go touch them. We just left them under the power and let God do whatever God wanted. Everybody in this particular meeting got touched by God but one woman. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know why God left her out. And so I said, the only thing I need to know to tell you is when you go home, talk to God, ask him if there's anything holding you back and tell him you really would like that joy that you saw. And I said, I believe God will meet you. And so she went home that night. And when she was laying there in bed, she began to talk to God. And God began to show her her attitude towards her in-laws. She had a very domineering mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law was always putting her under, always criticizing her. And so she began to release forgiveness and to pray for God to forgive her for her attitude. And all of a sudden, she began to cry. She didn't just cry, she began to wail. And I said to her husband, well, what did you do? And he said, well, you said don't do anything. He said, so I crossed my hands so I wouldn't even touch her and lay as still as I could and prayed, oh, God, close the ears of the people in the apartment next door. They're going to think I'm beating her up. She was so loud and wailing so loud. Do you know, not only did she get the laughter of the Lord that she wanted, but she woke up the next morning 100% healed of an arthritic condition that had her crippled for years. And if that husband had said, oh, honey, let me hold you, that would have been the end of it for her that night. But as it was, her spine got healed of all the crookedness that was in it and everything that was wrong. We serve a big God, a beautiful God, an awesome God. And our God is excited when we start saying, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. I want the best gifts. I desire. But the best gift, remember, is whatever the person needs. Whatever they need right then. And so you don't put God in a box and say, oh, I just walk in the healing anointing. I'm just a prophet. Don't give me anything else, God. I just want to prophesy. What good is a prophecy when they need a miracle? Yes. Or what good is it when they needed some good old-fashioned deliverance? We have got to be open to God to do what God wants. So God had me go to Kings and begin to read through all the miracles that took place in the Old Testament. And notice, how did they take place? What did they do? I began to see they always had to do something dumb. Just like me having to put paper up on the wall and measure people to see them grow. There is an act many times that we do. So in chapter 17, in this particular one, it is the story of Elijah. When went to Ahab and confronted him, and he said, "You get the people together, you get your priests together, and I'm going to be there, and we're going to see who's God." And the deal was that they had to build a fire, and whoever was God would put fire down on their altar. Well, the priest of Baal did all of the things they did, and there wasn't anything that happened. And when Elijah then got up for his turn, he decided to make it so hard that nobody could question it was God. He poured water all over his altar. His altar was drenched and flooded. And then he prayed very instantly. There's a scripture that just really stood out to me where he said to the people, "If Baal be Baal, then serve Baal. But if God be God, serve God." And sometimes we have to make that decision. And in 13, Elijah said, oh, I'm on the wrong one. That wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't the one I read this morning, Lord. That is a story. That is a miracle story where 18 was the one I wanted. Okay. And verse 36, I think, will probably do. It said, "And it came to pass in the time of the offering." What I want you to see is what Elijah said. Okay, "In the time of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your word.'" Do you know, people, it's easy to see God move a particular way and decide the next time you see that condition, okay, I'm going to do just what I saw, and nothing happened. But if God tells us to do it, something should happen. And so don't get messed up because you think you're doing it right, and maybe you're not doing it right for that particular situation. I just always retreat, get back with God, say, "Okay, God, I either didn't hear you right or I messed it up, but show me what to do." I went over to pray for my neighbor when I found out that Jesus would lengthen legs. She was crippled, and most of the time she was in a wheelchair. I knew that she had braces on, and I asked her, "Well, why don't you use crutches?" And she said, "I can't, because the way the braces are and my legs are not lined, I fall." And so when I saw Jesus healed legs, I was so excited. I went running next door the first chance next day and said, "I found out how to get you walking on your crutches. We're going to start out with the crutches, and we're going to believe for you to be walking." And she said, "Okay, Paula, pray." I prayed, and she let out this holler, and she said, oh, she was in pain. Now, I'm doing just what I saw the preacher do the night before, but nothing was happening. So I said, "Would you wait just a minute? Need to run back to the house." So I ran to the house, got the youth pastor's name and phone number, dialed him up real quick, and said, "I'm over at my neighbor's house. I'm praying for her leg. And she's screaming in pain." And I told him that she had braces on. He said, "Oh, Paula, her braces are hung. When it's trying to move, it's hung, and it's hurting her. You call her up, tell her to put on a pair of pants." We had dresses most of the time back then. And said, "Then you go over and do it again." And said, "When you go to pray, pull her legs apart so the braces aren't touching, and bring them back." I went over and did that. God grew her legs. She was able to get up and walk on crutches at that time. So sometimes, you know, we think we're doing it all, but we still have to go before God and say, okay, God, what do I do? We had a young man come to the house who had heard our testimonies. And he had poison ivy all over his hands. He said, Paula, I heard about you putting that woman's hand on your face and talking love and said, would you pray for my hand? I've got poison ivy and nothing's working. And I said, I hadn't heard God and I'm not about to even touch you. I don't want anywhere near you. I'm not going to be stupid. So he had to go to the doctor and get some medicine. We read the story in Kings where the widow woman, her husband died. She needed the money for the debt. And you remember that they told her to go collect all the vessels. The one thing she had in the house was oil. And God had her pour the oil in every empty vessel that she contained. And as long as she was pouring, as long as she had vessels, it did not run out. It only ran out when there was not another vessel to pour it into. We were getting ready to move. It was late at night when we were exiting our house, and I had to have the promise for the sale of the house was every room had to be waxed. And I had this enormous dining room and kitchen, and I had forgot to look how much wax I had. There was only this much, and the stores were already closed. We didn't get off till 9, and stores back in my day closed at 6, and there was no Walmart. And so I said, God, you're the one who caused the oil to keep running. So what he told me to do is never look at how much oil you've got, how much wax you've got. I would pick it up with my left hand looking over at my right, pour it without looking, and kept waxing. I got all the way out, waxed myself out the back door, and still had wax left. We just looked for the supernatural. We looked for ways for God to do something in our lives. I shared one of my favorite testimonies with Terry yesterday. I made my little girl's clothes a lot back then. And I would put lace on them. I would do everything I could to make them look so cute, have matching bloomers if they had a little dress, and long dresses that were pretty and pretty sleeves with lace on it. And the oldest one was now in school. So I would always, when I got material, and people gave me material a lot. If you remember the days of the double knit ladies, there was always a big portion left over because there was so much on the bolt. And they would give me their scraps. And so I would get the oldest girl a pretty dress for school, and then out of the scraps, I would make one for the younger. And usually they looked alike. And this particular day, I had the older one all fixed, and I was doing the younger. And I ran out of lace. I pulled it off the thing it was on, and there was only about this much. And my heart just hurt. And I said, Lord, it just doesn't seem fair. I'm doing Shana's out of the scraps, and she loves the lace, and that's all there is. And I said, God, you grow legs. Couldn't you grow lace? And I'm holding it in my hand. And I promise you, this is exactly what happened. It shot down and just started doubling over on my floor. Amen. She had a purse that was a lace purse. Oh, you wouldn't know there was material under that. I had so much lace and lace left over. Well, what Daniel and I want to do today, we believe that there is a release of the anointing for signs, for wonders, for miracles, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe there's such a thing as impartation. We used to go to every meeting. If anyone had an impartation, we ran. And I remember telling God, I feel so embarrassed as old as I am to be running to the front every time. But then we'd go home and we would see new things happen.
That's right. Amen.
And so we want to give an invitation tonight. We did an impartation in Italy when we were there, and they believed us. And so they went out on the street to find who could they pray for to be healed. We got phone calls of people with incurable diseases being healed because these kids believed when we laid hands on them, something was going to happen that would change their life. There is like an electricity up here right now. If we can get this moved and get whoever would like prayer to come up here. Now, sometimes Daniel's a little rowdy, talks a little loud and harsh. Don't be offended. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, don't stand behind anybody because would y'all separate? Okay.
Don't hold hands and don't touch anybody.
Okay.
And
then as soon as we get through here, we'll let them be moved and we'll get some more people up. That way we won't have anybody hurt. We hope. I've seen them all fall on top of each other.
But. Where are our catchers? You have catchers? Okay.
Let's see where the Lord wants to start. Okay, Heavenly Father, we are here tonight believing you for an impartation service. Believing you, God, that those who have a desire to see your Holy Spirit move in their lives, to touch people, that Holy Spirit, you will do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And God bring healing into her body. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, we're going to move around so that we won't be on top of people. Father, in the name of Jesus. Whoa-hoo! Whoa! Whoa! Man. That one like they got me. In the name of Jesus, it's now. It's now. Oh, boldness, God. Boldness. That has been attached to you, that has held you in a bondage where you feel like you're in mud, it's been broken this day in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, let healing begin to flow. Father, I speak to her spine. I command it to line up in Jesus' name. I command the healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. The shifting, God, in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That impartation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In every spirit of resistance, I command you off in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free. For there is a liberty you've not yet walked in that God has for you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Get four guys over here.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, there's something in your back that God is touching. There's healing that will affect you right in here. And where there has been like an ache at times or a tiredness, it's going to be gone because nerves are being loosed and even blood vessels, in Jesus' name. Oh, she's ready, God. She's ready. She's ready. She's ready. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, he's ready. He's ready. He's ready, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, she's ready. She's ready. We just release it. And God, we ask for the miracle anointing to begin to flow into her body, Father God. Father, I see her arm, but you're saying even her legs, her hips need to be healed. So, Father, I just command these hips to rotate into the proper place. I command every nerve that deals with the hips and the legs to be made whole. And I ask you, God, heal her arm, her hand, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, she's so ready, too. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, it's now, Lord. It's now for him. It's now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God is loosening healing. And it affects right. For me, that would be the hip joint. I don't know what it, how your body is, but there is something right through there that God is touching and bringing healing. Amen. 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 It's going to go affect the front of the abdominal area. You're going to feel it there. You're going to sense it in your back. God's doing a healing for this. Hallelujah. And Father, I believe all timidity not of this woman, all reservedness that's not of the Holy Ghost to loose her right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's now. It's now. It's now. Right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. We lost her. Are in the name of Jesus now. Now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And God, I ask you to loose his understanding. For God, there's questions. There's things he doesn't understand and he wants to be correct. And so, God, I thank you to cause the anointing of the Holy Spirit to open up the word in a new depth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Let's get here. Pull forward just a little, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is anointing up here right now for circulation. If you need your blood flow to be changed right now, put your faith out. There is something like an electricity flowing. Okay, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's ready, God. He's ready, God. He's ready, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Father, thank you. She's ready, God. She's ready. It's now. It's now, Lord. It's now. It's now. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. And there's healing flowing in you from your waist down. There is an anointing that will bring a change in the energy level from the waist down. It's like those times when your legs feel tired and God is making the correction where that tiredness will not be there. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, she's ready, Lord. It's now. It's now. It's now, Lord, for her. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for a sensitivity to your presence, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. Now, in Jesus' name, we just receive it. We receive it. We receive it, Father. Thank you for healing to go down her spine, down her legs, and into her toes, Father God. Thank you for healing with her toes, in particular, and knees, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, she's ready. She's ready. Okay, there it goes. There it goes. There it goes. In Jesus' name. Oh, I love your smile. She's ready, God. She's ready, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, it's now. It's now. It's now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see. She comes. Okay. Now, Father. Woo! I like to whip with her. Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's now, Father. It's now, Lord. It's now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, you're getting healing. Yeah, I started to do it first. I started to stop you. Okay, we just received it. You don't have to fall. There's no need. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, that you're lining up her spine. You're releasing the nerves. Pelvic, you tilt the right direction. In Jesus' name. Nerves released. Hallelujah. Does this with your back affect your feet? All right, would you move your... Which foot is it? You're feeling it right now? Okay, Father, we command the nerve to be loose. Right now. Right now. Okay, what's happening now? What's happening? Just the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Is the pain going? Okay. We thank you. Oh, there went power down your legs then. Okay.
And just lay there. Start thanking God.
Let's come. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. She's ready, Lord. She's ready. She is ready. Thank you for that power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Anointing. Anointing, Father God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know what it is in the abdominal area, but God is touching you. And he's making some corrections in that area of your body. As a matter of fact, he's loosening you from where some emotions have settled down there. And you get before God and tell him, God, it's not worth carrying this weight and its effect upon your body. And you're going to see it. God's going to heal you. Oh, Father. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. A completed work. Completed, God. You've begun a good work. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we command the muscles in that eye to hold right back and to cause those eyes to hold straight and to be made whole. Jesus, thank you for the anointing. Oh, hold her in your arms. Put her in your mouth. Sister, tell me the love you feel for him. It's not even a question.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
You ready?
Okay. Now, now, let that anointing go through you, Father God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, let him see the signs and wonders in the miracle with no fear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Are you ready?
All right, give her more. Give her more, God. God, she's seen you do things, but give her more. Let her see more than never before, God. Lord, I thank you for the anointing. Thank you that you're touching her body in the same process. Jesus' name. You're still healing in your legs. Do you have a burning sometimes or an uncomfortableness that hits the lower extremities?
No.
All right, there is some nasty. Okay, well, there's something that is going down your legs right now, an anointing that's going down. Normally, it's either loosening a nerve or it's opening a blood vessel. But you should see leg fatigue, though. Okay?
Okay, you guys ready?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, she wants more. She wants more. She wants all that she can have. In Jesus' name. God, he wants more. 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 All of it, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we got a few more, Daniel.
Let's get this guy and we'll get to work. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, we need somebody. Can you handle
it?
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, right
You ready?
Okay, now God, now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord. Now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, give him a double dose.
Move over just a little. Okay, now you go. Alright, you ready?
Oh, Raki Kadada. Ilaki Kadada. Oh, somebody has a problem with the arch in your foot. God's touching an arch right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, well, God's the one who takes pain. So, Father, I thank you. You're healing the arch right now. You're healing his foot. Father, I command any paralysis to come out of this body in Jesus' name. We're ready for his miracle, God, in Jesus' name. Spirit of pain, I order you out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Start praising God, and when you get home, keep on praising God. Thank you. The more you praise Him, you just keep the fire going. Okay? Keep the fire going. You let the mark in here. Okay?
Let us hear. We want to hear your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, if you did not go down, don't worry. Okay?
She didn't get to be prayed for.
She didn't get to be prayed for.
I don't think you need to be, Barbara.
I think I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
Impartation.
Already. Impartation.
Jesus said, as you faith this, it'll be done to you. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. You just receive it. Okay?
Amen.
Right now, it doesn't change anything.
Were you in the prayer line? Were you up here? Why don't you come here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God just wants to touch you. He's putting you in places that he wants you anointed and free from fear of man, all of that stuff. Are you ready? Oh, Father, let your anointing go into this young lady. And drive out anything that would hinder her boldness, God. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are precious to the Lord. You need to look in the mirror and say, I love you too, to you. You need to fall in love with yourself. Okay.
Pick another team, my book. Texas Longhorns.
Well, I had fun tonight, you guys. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank the Lord. Some started some excellent things tonight. And I want to encourage you to carry it through to the end. Say, I believe I received. And when you go home tonight, you say, I believe I received. And when you wake up tomorrow, you say, I believe I received. And you keep that which the Lord's given you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you again for all of our guests that have come out tonight. I want to send out a big thank you to our team leaders who have really pulled together our setup, breakdown, food in the foyer, all everything. There's just a gaggle of people here that make things around here happen. It doesn't all happen because we're here. It happens because a great team pulls together. So thank you all of our team leaders. We bless you tonight. Thank you for pulling together this weekend for the ladies meeting yesterday and everything else. So again, you visitors, if you don't have a home church, we meet here typically Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and you're welcome to come join us. We're just on a journey of faith together, and we're excited about what God's doing here in Alvin and the surrounding area. God's called us not just to touch this community, but to touch the surrounding areas. So we've got a big vision, and if God's calling you to be a part of it, we would love for you to come back and join us in this journey that the Lord's got us on. Amen. So why don't you stand together with me? And we thank again Pastor Daniel and his wife for coming so far. Dr. Burt, thank you so much. Let's bless him. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, when you're on the road, you're out of your comfort zone. You're away from the bed that's comfortable to you, the food that's comfortable to you. But they're following God, and they're an inspiration to us to just obey and go, because Jesus said go. Amen. So we thank you again for coming. Thank you. God bless you. Well, are you grateful? Let's just lift our hands and tell the Lord thank you. Lord, we thank you for the bounty of your table tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you for healing our bodies, forgiving us of all our sins, healing us of all our diseases. We thank you for setting our families in order, setting our lives in order, that you're making us holy as you are holy. And we say yes to that holiness, Lord. We say yes to your move and your power in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for meeting with us here tonight. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go.